Bear with me as I share my great store of knowledge about fishing. You laugh, but I have read and seen a perfect storm. And I've seen fishing trawlers in Gloucester Harbor, and I've seen lobster boats in Rockport, Maine, and Rockport, Massachusetts. So I want a little bit of respect. One, fishing is hard work. Two, fishing can be dangerous work. Three, you're not always guaranteed a good day out on the water. Four, you're often placing a burden on your family. Well, I think that's about it. That's what I know. That and what I experienced when I was a kid, and I would go to the reservoir and sit under the towering pines and watch the sunlight stream through and create this lovely tableau, and I would sit there and I'd think about the world as I didn't catch any fish. What I know about fishing, to be honest, has been shaped by these Bible stories as much as anything else. These stories about Simon Peter and his experience on the lake, and the stories later on about Jesus walking on the water. And it doesn't really spell it out, but it's true that being a fisherman, being a fisher person, if you want to use modern locutions, is hard work. You have to invest everything you've got in what you're doing, your time. And the text doesn't talk about this, but your wealth and your money. That fishing boat was probably Peter's greatest asset, the thing in which all of his money had been invested. And that's how he made a living that he could support himself with and his family. So keep all of that in mind as he's just had a hard day out on the water. And he's worked a lot, and maybe there was sun that was beating down on his head, or maybe there was rain that fell, we don't know. But it had been a long day, and it seems that there really hadn't been much to show for his effort. He came back in, he probably wanted to be done with it, to go home, to see his family, to relax, to do something other than be out on the shoreline tending to his nets. Now the story starts to get interesting. Jesus, who has already been practicing his preaching in the area, probably has a reputation, and people know about him, and they want to hear what he says. So Peter's there on the shore, working on his nets, tired. And Jesus walks up and gets into the boat and says, "Would you please push it out into the water?" Now, this is an aside, but it's relevant. I'm going to tell you about one of my quirks. You can describe it as a fault. I don't like when people invade my personal space. And a number of years ago, when the norm began to arise for people to start hugging one another, I cringed. Handshake is perfectly fine for me. But I didn't want to tell people don't hug me because they would have been offended. And my personal space extends to my workspace. When I'm at my desk, I don't want people to come behind it. And by and large, my life has been fine that way. But I had one colleague in a prior job in a different setting who would occasionally wander behind my desk to talk to me. And it wasn't as if I didn't have a big office where this person could be comfortable standing, but this person came behind my desk. And I didn't know whether it was because the individual had no sense of personal space or boundaries or was trying to pull a power move on me. And finally, I said, "Stop." And maybe I was rude about it, but I said, "There's a big office here. And I appreciate you didn't come behind my desk." Peter's boat was his desk. And Jesus came and invaded his personal space. Now, Peter may not have had my hang-ups, but there would have been a sense of proprietorship, of ownership. This is my boat. And if I'd been there, I would have wondered, who are you and why are you getting into it? This isn't a pleasure craft. It's not the minnow going out for a three-hour cruise. But Jesus doesn't care. And amazingly, Peter complies with his request. And he pushes off, and off into the water they go. And then the miracle occurs. They catch so many fish. And here's another shocking thing. Peter's response is to confess that he is a sinner. He doesn't have what I think would be a more commonplace reaction, at least in today's world, which is, I just hit the lottery, let's get the catch in and make some money. Or even if he had been a more thoughtful person about those around him, my gosh, we can feed everybody now. No, the fish do not matter to him. All that matters is his inadequacy in front of Jesus. Now at this point, he does not know that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah. But he senses there's something special here. And he is willing to set aside everything, to drop everything, to follow Jesus. That's a heck of a lot of charisma. It's a lot of presence and a lot of holiness. Now, some of you might be sitting here thinking, well, I'm not Simon. I don't have that kind of faith. I'm not that kind of holy person who's going to drop everything to follow Jesus. But today is another reminder of how the lectionary, through the wonders of happenstance, coincidence, good fortune, and providence, provides us with the lesson we need to hear on a particular day. Because this passage is perfect for an annual meeting Sunday. You may not be selling your boats and giving up everything, walking away from your job to do the work of the church, but you are making sacrifices. And in a little while, we will be electing members of this congregation to be officers and committee members. For that, we say thank you. And there are others of you who are liturgists and who are ushers, and you serve the community dinner and clean the walks and do 100 other things that make this congregation work. You are following in Peter's footsteps. And even though you're not giving everything up, you can at least think of yourselves as being like Isaiah. He too thought he wasn't up to the job. And did God accept that? No. The angel came and purified his lips. And when God issued the call, Isaiah said, "Here I am." Now you'll remember that Isaiah had a day job. And he was a member of the court. And he went to meetings and he wrote memos and he talked to people. And he did all sorts of stuff that a courtier would do. But he found time in his life to serve God. And he raised his hand before he was told what he was going to say. Did you listen carefully to the passage that Linda read? That was a really dark passage. All about destruction. The people are being cut off. And things burning. And Isaiah has just volunteered to do this. I'm not saying that being in mission and ministry involves you're going out and being doomsayers. But it does involve being prepared for the unexpected. Maybe for the conflict that arises. And being willing to work through that. And for 250 years, members of this church have done just that. How many of you fish? Okay, there are a couple of you, right? So, you're now going to be fishermen, all of you. And I'm not saying that I'm Jesus calling you to be fishers of men rather than fishermen. But I am going to say that the invitation that Jesus extended to Peter is also extended to each and every one of us. The interesting thing about a call is that it requires a response. God doesn't make us do anything. God's not looking for zombies or robots who will follow his every word. Instead, God is looking for faithful people who may have questions, who are stirred by the message of the gospel, who listen to the words of Scripture, who can see, like Peter did, that the world can be better and that taking a risk is worth it. So this day, I say thank you again on behalf of this congregation as we look to another year in engaging in the ministry of Jesus Christ and his church.